Hey, look at this. I'm using what we call the Whaley method. I borrowed one of his buckets here, and I've got my high-tech computer sitting on top of it, this high-tech bucket. Do you think he's going to charge me rent for this, do you think?
I don't know, but I've got his nuts over here if you need them.
What? You've got Leland Whaley's nuts?
I've got Leland Whaley's nuts.
Oh, glad to see somebody's holding onto them. Anyway, hey, Wodine lady. As much as I do love nuts, I'm not going to be eating any right now because I had myself a delicious protein bar earlier today. That would be one of the fabulous protein bars from Way to Wellness. It was the Crisp and Crunch peanut chocolate. It tastes just like a candy bar. I mean, I kid you not, it tastes just like a candy bar. And it's filling. And it's one of the things that beats back any craving that you might have while you're on this physician-supervised weight loss program. That, along with their snacks, which can be salty and just taste like you're just eating chips, and then their fabulous entrees, their amazing cereals, really everything they do is spectacular. I like to mix it up, and I like to add stuff, and I like to cook it on the stove because, you know, you can throw some mushrooms in there, spice it up however you like, feels like you're really cooking regular food, and the next thing you know, you've lost 65 pounds. At least that's my story. You could follow that story as well. Maybe you're having different problems. Maybe the thing about them is aplanforme.com is the website for a reason because everybody gets a different plan and everybody's different. So it works differently on different people. So make sure that you get the right plan, the plan for you. Aplanforme.com. Way to Wellness, 994-2393, 994-2393. Physician supervised weight loss that really, really works. Joining us now on the Birmingham Broker Hotline, it's the one and only Megan Barth of ReaganBabe.com, ReaganBabe.com. Hello, Megan, and how are you today?
I'm doing great, Richard. How are you?
I am exquisite, as always. Joe Biden going to come out and talk tough on crime soon. It's interesting that I don't have a time on when he's going to do that. Really? We're just loosey-goosey in the White House now? Are you sure he hasn't called a lid on the day? We don't really know. But for some reason, he seems to think that, guns and crime are synonymous, and so most of what he's going to be talking about has to do with restrictions on guns. We don't significantly have more guns in this country today than we did, I don't know, 10 years ago. How exactly does that explain the increase in homicides? Can you clarify for me?
Well, I would love to. Thank you for asking. You know, I have some statistics here that were printed, I believe, by the FBI. Let me just run them down. In Atlanta, homicides are up 58%, shootings are up 40%, New York City up 13%, shootings up 64%. Portland, homicides are up 533%, shootings are up 126%. Chicago up 5%, but they're already leading the murder rate in the country. Shootings are up 18%. Los Angeles homicides are up 22%. Shootings are up 51%. And then rounding off the large cities, Philadelphia homicides are up 37%, and shootings are up 27%. Now I have to ask you, Richard, outside of Major League Baseball teams, what do all of those large cities have in common as far as political leadership?
Could it be that they're all run by Democrats? Is that the deal? Is that the story?
Yes. And they've all taken on the Marxist position, the communist position. We don't have more guns in this country, but we certainly have more outspoken communists in power. And all of these cities have adopted these Marxist slogans through defunding the police. So when you defund the police, there seems to be a correlation in the spike in homicides and shootings and overall crime. Last week, Portland not only took out a Wall Street Journal article or a New York Times article saying, come to Portland, we never know what's going to happen here, but we like it that way. Well, guess what happens in Portland? Riots, murders, crime, Antifa parades, quote unquote, that are usually police escorted. But in Portland, the entire riot squad resigned in unison. So we can probably assume that there are going to be more riots in Portland, much like there's more crime when you defund the police. When the riot squad resigns, you can probably bet there will be more riots.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet. I pointed that out earlier in this show that, The entire riot squad just said, you've made it impossible for us to do our jobs. We're leaving. And that's the same reason that one-third of Minneapolis and Seattle police officers have resigned. They just said, and they didn't all retire. I mean, some of them just moved like, I'm very familiar with Minneapolis having grown up there. You know, there's places nearby. Anoka is nearby. Richfield is nearby. Edina is nearby. All of these suburbs would be very happy to hire Minneapolis-trained police officers and probably pay them better and let them do their jobs, you know? So why in the world should I stick around in a place where you're making my life miserable when these other people are willing to hire me and they're going to let me do what it is I'm supposed to be doing for a living? And they're doing everything they can, as near as I can tell, Megan, to blame everything except their policies.
Well, of course, because the Democrats will never admit that their policies are catastrophic failures. They just believe that throwing more money at the problem or taking money away from the police would solve the crime issue. That certainly hasn't worked. Many of their policies have not worked and actually had a deleterious effect. The road to hell, as they say, is paved with good intentions, and it's been a long road of hell when it comes to Democrat policies. And we're only, 100 or so days into this administration? I lose track. But we still have basically 1,000 more days to get through this administration. Whether or not Joe Biden will be around during that time is highly unlikely. But Kamala Harris, all of a sudden, I don't know if you saw this, is going to hightail it to the border as borders are.
Yeah.
She hasn't bothered to visit during the time that she's czar, but it comes right before Donald Trump is going to arrive as a guest of Governor Abbott. I'm sure that timing is just coincidental.
Sure, they had nothing to do with each other. Don't be silly. I wonder, though, because Joe Biden and his company have been so active in loading these border detainees, I don't know, for want of, they're illegal immigrants, loading them into planes and flying them all over the country and dumping them off, even to the point of putting them up in 4- and 5-star hotels. You're probably not going to see things like 700% capacity at some of these places like we did earlier. Maybe she feels like it's safe to go to the border. And I would suspect that the willing press, the lapdog media, is not going to show the conditions down there. They've had the ability to do that any time, and they haven't done so.
Well, of course not. Lauren Boebert,
right,
from Colorado, she just basically proposed a resolution to censor Joe Biden for his dereliction of duty when it comes to securing the border. When you think of the federal government outside of waste, fraud, corruption, and abuse, their main and their primary job is to protect us from enemies, foreign and domestic. I encourage everyone to listen to what Lauren Boebert said to the press, which was just released. Under President Trump, I believe it was 13 illegal aliens were allowed to remain in this country and then apply, you know, and go through the proper channels within his last 13 months of office. Just in these first 3 months of Joe Biden retaining office, over 20,000 have been released. And if that wasn't enough, he is allowing 10,000 more illegal aliens who are staying in Mexico to reapply for entry. And, you know, we have to think of the border in this respect. We're detaining tens of thousands of children in those concentration camps, as AOC once called them, but we don't hear much from AOC. We're detaining or letting out tens of thousands of illegal aliens, as you point out, somewhere in America. They're being flown without IDs to whatever destinations they so choose. I can't fly without an ID. Now, these are about 100,000 in total that we've either detained or released. How many haven't we caught at the border?
Yeah, exactly. And when you think about that, you can also think about the amount of fentanyl that is finding its way into this country, the amount of human traffickers that have gotten away as a result of all of this. You know, they're not doing people any favors here. I know they think they are. They're not doing people any favors here. But, you know, Kamala, here's the thing, and I'm excited about Kamala going to the border. I want her to go to the border. I want her to go and I would prefer she not come back. Can she just stay there? Can we just send her there and just leave her there for the next 3.5 years? If we could do that, I'm on board with this trip. Hold on, Megan. We're chatting with Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, the Birmingham Broker Hotline. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Spoke with my realtor, Monica Thatch, earlier today. Monica Thatch, Keller Williams, Trustful. I asked her if she was staying busy. She said yes, but never too busy for someone else. Never too busy for another client. So if you are interested in buying or selling a home, they are happening. It is happening right now. The market is crazy, absolutely, which is why you need a trusted guide, somebody you can count on, someone who knows their stuff. Monica Thatch, Keller Williams, Trustful, 229-1865, the person you need to call, 229-1865. Experience is what makes the difference. Understanding the ins and outs of real estate law, which form goes with what. You shouldn't have to worry about any of that stuff. That's why you get Monica Thatch, Keller Williams, Trustful on your side. That's why you have a real estate agent who knows their stuff. And she is the best of the best. Help me find my house, can help you find yours, and then market and sell yours at a price you're absolutely going to love. Monica Thatch, Keller Williams, Trustful, 229-1865. Make the call. You will not regret it. It is 218. We're chatting with Megan Barth. ReaganBabe.com is a good place to read her stuff. And I see today where the White House is limiting reporters' access to Joe Biden because he made a couple of missteps. I always see him saying, well, they're going to get mad at me, or I shouldn't be answering these questions. And I keep thinking, you're the freaking president of the United States. Who are you answering to that's scaring you to the point where you're saying you shouldn't be answering these questions? But they're now, you notice for the past couple of days, he has not been accessible to the press, and that seems to be by design. Today he's going to give this speech, and I guarantee he's not going to take questions. What do you think is going on here?
Well, if there was ever a time where we should be considering removing a president from office, it would be now. There was a report this week, I believe, or late last week, where the President Trump's former doctor, as well as only 13 other congressmen, there should be hundreds more, asking Joe Biden, requesting that Joe Biden take a mental cognitive test. I think we should all have confidence, right, in our leader of the free world, our commander in chief, to do the job that he was supposedly elected, I say implemented, in doing. And we kind of knew that the Democrats didn't believe that he was all there in full capacity when early on in his presidency, they were asking or requesting that he share the nuclear codes with other people. Yeah. That really didn't instill a lot of confidence in me.
Yeah. That and the fact that he gets sent out with a list of reporters and sometimes like seating charts and circled pictures. And you're like, what are we on, romper room here? What's going on? Oh,
yeah.
God. He didn't have a lot to say about the SB1 going down. I'm sorry, the For the People Act. I should call it by its proper name. It was clearly a bill that was for the people, as long as the people are all Democrats who are running for office. That thing went down in flames in the Senate yesterday, 50-50, not a shock to anybody, I would think. I didn't get the kind of feedback from him that I thought we were going to see, some sort of fiery rhetoric. We got it from Chuck Schumer. And apparently it's not going to lead to the discussion about doing away with the filibuster like they wanted it to. Was that the whole plan? Did that plan collapse along with this?
Well, it did collapse because Kristen Sinema, the Democrat from Arizona, even said that she found it outrageous, or at least hypocritical, that Democrats were calling to end the filibuster when Democrats have used the filibuster in the past. And also Joe Manchin also threw a wedge or a roadblock into the filibuster issue, as well as the For the People Act, H.R. 1 and SB1 or S1, by meeting with Joe Biden over the weekend, according to reports, and saying that he might get on board if they put in voter ID. Now, what I don't understand is that over a majority of Americans, including Democrats, want voter ID, but the Democrats, supposedly the For the People Act, didn't require voter ID, even though a majority of Americans want voter ID. Also, according to a Rasmussen poll that was issued, I think, today, reported today, said that over half Americans believe that the election was rigged. 1 in 10 Democrats believe that Joe Biden was not elected fairly. 1 in 10. A majority of Americans, I think it was 62%, believe in audit that Biden's attorney general wants to stop in Arizona. So we're all for, Americans are for forensic audits. Americans, a majority of Americans are for voter ID, yet the Democrats can't get on board with voter ID. Why? Because they believe that people of color, black people, Hispanic people, et cetera, are just too stupid to get an ID or bring an ID with them to vote.
Well, that's not why, and you know it. It's because they can't cheat, then. If you have voter ID, it makes it harder to cheat. Look, yes, majority of Americans are in favor of voter ID, 80% of the Monmouth poll I saw yesterday. 55% of Americans think that transgender girls, a.k.a. boys, should not be competing in girls' sports. Men should not be competing in women's sports. When asked to list their priorities in terms of importance, the vast majority of Americans place global warming somewhere around 73rd on their list. And yet this administration is pushing all three of those things: no voter ID, transgenders in sports, global warming, oh, we got to put the Green New Deals together, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're flying in the face of what the majority of Americans want. And I guess when you get 81 million votes and the most votes of any president in the history of the United States, you get to do those things, huh?
Right, yes. 81 million people supposedly voted for this demented pawn. I think a majority of Americans have a hard time believing that. But yes, when you are running basically a totalitarian regime, you can ignore the will of the people. And this is exactly why the Democrats wanted to federalize elections. Where else do you find federalized, nationalized elections? Oh, in great places like Iran, Cuba,
Venezuela.
Correct.
Exactly.
Your typical cast of communist characters. So the Democrats are not doing what their 81 million constituents voted for.
Nope.
They're doing exactly what they want to do.
Pretty common. Pretty common. Hey, thank you for your time. As always, we'll do it again next Wednesday. Hope you have a great week in the meantime.
Thank you. You too.
There's Megan Marth, ReaganBabe.com. ReaganBabe.com. Read her stuff there. We'll get to some fun stuff when we return, including the big stupid question of the day. The first movie that you either took a date to or were brought as a date to, 545-9950, 844-455-9950. First news time now. Ha, 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 ha. 232, it's Richard Dixon, Talk995, Talk995.com, Love Lady Electrical Contractors, 603-3692, Great Electricians, their prices are shockingly low. Oh, get it? Shockingly low. What's that all about? There's another electrical pun. Oh, my God. My side. I just keep them coming.
Are you alternating flows?
Yeah. Here's the thing. You can call any electrician, and many of them will come out and give you a free estimate. Lowest one is most likely going to be from Love Lady. Let's just say the lowest one from the people who are actually going to show up when they say they're going to show up, do what they say they're going to do in the time allotted, and leave your home in better shape than they found it, is going to come from Love Lady Electrical Contractors. That's how they do business on your home, on your office, and your industry. New construction to Love Lady Electrical Contractors. Whole home generators being installed right now as well. Don't be afraid to ask about it. You can buy the generator. They'll install it. They'll get it for you, whatever you want. 603-3692. Or on social media, facebook.com/lovelady electrical. The New York Times is all bent out of shape, as is the Washington Post. Because Merrick Garland, the current Attorney General of the United States, doesn't see any point in looking into the previous administration. Mr. Garland said that reviewing the previous administration's actions was, quote, a complicated question, end quote. Afraid of being accused of partisanship, he chooses not to do his job. Could you imagine if every single attorney general that took office was tasked with going back over the previous administration, be it 4 or 8 years, and trying to find some sort of wrongdoing on which you could play gotcha? Would they be able, or would any portion of their department be able to actually work on the stuff that was going on right now in front of them? I mean, people got mad at Donald Trump because they thought that he and his Justice Department should have gone after Hillary Clinton. And apparently, by the way, that investigation did continue under the Trump administration, but they were unwilling to actually pursue Hillary Clinton for a number of reasons, probably one of which is exactly that. It's not politically expedient. It will jump back and bite you in the butt. Sometimes you're going to need Hillary supporters somewhere down the line. You know, let's not tick them all off by sending the woman to jail. She's already been punished to the extent that you could punish a Clinton by making sure she never became president of the United States of America. Now they're upset. They weren't upset, by the way. The Never Trumpers and the Libs were never upset for a second about not going back and pursuing Hillary Clinton, not going back and pursuing Barack Obama, who, by the way, was absolutely 100% in on the whole Russiagate thing. No, they weren't upset about that. But now they're upset that Merrick Garland's not going digging around to the previous administration trying to find some sort of wrongdoing. I can't help but find it funny. They're calling for him. He's the wrong man for the job. He should resign. He should resign. You think he's going to resign? That's cute. That's cute you think that's going to happen. It's cute you think you have that kind of power. The one thing we're finding out over the course of the past now 5 years, six maybe, is how little power the press actually has. I mean, they dove on the blood in the water situation around Andrew Cuomo. Oh, my God. Hey, women are suggesting they groped him and did things and terrible, and we got to get this guy out, and we're just going to hound him mercilessly. And he was like, I'm not leaving. And then he didn't leave, and they finally were like, okay, I guess we'll stop now. Because they have no power. They're still trying to prop up Anthony Fauci. Majority of Americans look at him as a joke now and just go, yeah, we don't believe anything he says anymore. Because he's spoken out of both sides of his mouth so many times. And the press is like, no, he's still relevant. And we're like, no, he's really not. They want so badly to have the same kind of power that they had back in the 40s and 50s and 60s and even into the 80s. I mean, Ronald Reagan spit in their face and got elected by a large margin twice. George W. Bush did the same thing. But it really, it was proven the emperor had no clothes in 2016 when they spent an entire year telling you that Trump was a clown, Trump was incompetent, Trump was a joke, Trump was the worst excuse for a human being ever, no one should ever vote for him, and he soundly trounced their candidate in the Electoral College. It was hilarious. And that was when they really started to have a tantrum. I love watching the press meltdown. I do kind of miss my old press, though. It'd be nice to have some journalists working again, wouldn't it? Moses is on a cell phone. Moses, you're on Talk 99.5.
How are you today?
I am exquisite, as always. You have an answer for the big, stupid question of the day, the first movie that you took a date to?
My sister took me and my future wife to see this movie, and Elton John was in this movie. Can you name that movie?
Wow, Elton John was in this movie. You and your future wife.
Can rock
you...
opera.
Oh, my God. Was it Tommy?
It was Tommy.
Yeah, he did. He was the pinball wizard, yeah.
He was, and one of our first songs was your song, so your show has really hit a couple of buttons today, Rich.
Thanks. Well, all righty then. Is the missus still with you?
She is, 38 and a half years.
38 and a half years, and she won't leave. You can't make her, huh? Okay, whatever. Whatever. You've given it your best shot.
I keep trying, Richard. I keep trying.
She's not going anywhere. God bless you. Good for you, man. I'm glad to hear it. Thank you, Moses. Mine was a weird... one of those films I told you, it kind of slips between the cracks, was not a huge hit. I wonder how many people actually saw it. It was 1978, which means I was 15 years old when this film came out. And I took this girl that I was crushing on hard. I wanted her to like me so much, and she was friend-zoning me in a major way. And another friend of ours came along. His name was Russ. It was essentially a three-person. He was supposed to be the third wheel. I wasn't the third wheel. But she, you know, I never did get where I wanted to go with this girl. I really loved her, but she was just all about the friend zone. But I took her to see the one and only. Russ was there because he was driving, because I was only 15. I couldn't drive. The One and Only was the name of this film. And it starred Henry Winkler, and I want to say Kim Darby was the other person in it. And it was Henry Winkler was a college student. I think he was in his last year of college. He was he wanted to be an actor, and he lacked in he did not lack for self-confidence, let's put it that way. He was he had a bit of hubris. He believed in himself a lot. And he took off to go find after wooing Kim Darby away from her. I think it was Kim Darby away from her.
You are correct, sir.
Diggity. See, the memory is hanging in there. Was I right about it being 1978, or was I wrong on that? Was it 79?
It was 1978.
Okay, so it's amazing to me the stuff that I can still remember.
Released February 3rd, 1978.
That must have been around then. Anyway, he leaves her to go pursue his acting career. He can't get a job anywhere because he keeps wanting to change the way the role is played, which is just annoying for directors. They're like, this is the role, do it the way it's written, and he keeps changing it. And he gets into professional wrestling. It's the story of the advent of staged professional wrestling. And he really, knocks it out of the park with this. The only other person I remember being in it was Hervé Villechaize. He was a tattoo from...
Ed Begley Jr. was in it.
I don't remember that.
He was Arnold the King.
Yeah. Anybody else I would recognize?
Harold Gould.
Harold Gould, I'd recognize him, sure.
He was Hector Moses. Polly Holiday is Mrs. Crawford.
Oh,
and William Daniels was Mr. Crawford.
I should have known these. I should have recognized these people, but I didn't.
And then Bill Baldwin is an announcer in Des Moines.
Hmm. Well, there
I don't
you
know
go.
If that's related to the Baldwin.
I don't think so. Probably not. Not the Billy Baldwin. He was probably not even born at the time. Anyway, so there you go. And that was the first date movie I ever went to. It did not pay off very well. B.A. is on a cell phone. What's up, B.A.?
Good day, Mr. Dixon.
Howdy.
Hey, I tried the onion rings at Hamburger Heaven yesterday. They were very good.
They're very good. All right, David, your recommendation comes through. Bravo.
Real quick, Elton John, I was, 1971, I was about 5 or 6 years old, but my parents had friends that had older kids, they were like teenagers, so I remember that song, those songs being famous, and, but I was young, and that song, Leave On, when he says, he lives in a garage by the motorway. I'm like, what is a garage and what is a motorway? I had no idea what either one of them was. And they had to explain it to me. But first date, I don't know, I'd really consider this date. It was, girl I was in junior high school, her mother took she and I and two other kids that couldn't drive to see The Empire Strikes Back. That's it.
Wow. Not bad. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. If you're going to go on a date movie, that's a pretty good date movie to go to. I also went to see that movie on a date. It was the second time I had seen that movie. I saw The Empire Strikes Back 3 times in the theater. I saw Star Wars, gosh, it was either 2 times or 4 times. What's the movie you've seen most in the theater, David? Have you gone back again and again and again to see stuff? Or you get the advent of DVD?
I'm probably going to say the movie I saw the most in the theater was Revenge of the Sith.
Hmm.
I just, that hit, it was my second senior year of college that summer, came out in May.
It's like second breakfast for those of you that don't understand. Anyway.
Victory lap. Yeah. Victory lap.
There you go.
And I think I ended up seeing that 7 times.
Well, you beat me. I saw Foul Play 6 times. Chevy Chase and Goldie Hawn. It wasn't
is that,
even.
Is that where, is it Robert? No. The guy that just died.
One of those guys that just died.
He's like the curmudgeon-y lawyer, and they scrape a defeat. Is
no.
Is it that movie?
It is not that movie.
What movie is that?
Foul Play was Chevy Chase played a cop. I think it was San Francisco. Goldie Hawn played a woman who was caught up in a plot that was to assassinate the Pope. It was very strange. Billy Barty was in it. Who else? There were a couple of really big names that you would recognize. Funny movie. I didn't mean to see it 6 times. It was just like every single time I got together with a group of people, they're like, we should go see a movie. I'm like, all right, what do you want to see? Let's go see that Chevy Chase film, Foul Play. And I was like, I'll see it again. What the hell? It's a good movie. And it is a good movie. I don't even own it on DVD. I should get it. As soon as it shows up in the Walmart 374 bin, I'm all over it like like a pit bull on a toddler, baby. 244, let's take a quick break. Back in a flash. If somebody is looking for presents to get me for my birthday, not this year, but in 2022, tickets for Elton John's farewell tour for Atlanta, September the 22nd of 2022. That would be perfect for a birthday present for me. I'll take them. I saw Elton John once a long time ago. I was a wee small child. And it was spectacular. I mean, it was just one of the most amazing shows I'd ever seen. It was back when he was dressing up in the Donald Duck outfit and all that good stuff. And, I wouldn't mind seeing him again before he bags it, you know, for all eternity. This is his farewell tour. It started in 2018, has taken a year and a half, almost two-year hiatus, and will end in 2023. And he's just recently announced a slew of the last of the dates. Some of them on the East Coast, the Southeast Coast, basically, North Carolina stuff. A bunch of stuff overseas, Frankfurt, Germany, and the UK and whatnot. And then, Washington, D.C. on my birthday, the 24th in 2022. Atlanta, 2 days before that, 2022, September the 22nd. I'll take those tickets. Anytime you want to buy them for me, I'm good to go. Anytime you want to
buy them. When I win the lottery tonight,
yeah,
I'll do that for you.
You're on board. Thank you. I appreciate it. Here's Billy in Adamsville. Billy, you're on Talk 99.5. What's up?
Well, thank you, sir. Hey, speaking of that lottery, you know, he's got a chance of 7 times winning that thing in a row just because of what's-his-name become president out there. I ain't calling no names. But I want to know what happened with Comey. I mean, he's supposed to be brought up on charges already, right? Have they just dropped the charges on him? Or
well, there haven't been any charges. There haven't been any charges. You're looking at the Durham investigation, right, which is John Durham. He's now a special counsel, and he's looking into what happened with Russiagate and whether or not there was enough wrongdoing to bring charges. And so far, we haven't heard anything about his investigation. No report has been issued. He has done and said nothing. So, you know, we have absolutely no idea. We'll have to wait to see. But I said it at the time. I've said it multiple times since. I'll say it again. I am jaundiced enough to believe that no one is going to pay for this. It's no one is ever going to have to go to jail. No one's going to wear an orange jumpsuit. I don't think so.
Well, I believe you're right, but there were several of them, others in there with him that should have gone to jail, too. I thought they had charges on them guys. It was just a question of it all coming to...
Nope, no charges. No charges as of yet. Sorry to break your heart there, Billy. Take care, my friend. I'm trepidation. Here we are. We're down to two words. If you've been listening, Mayhem's been calling in with a series of these rock and roll quizzes for me. He started off with giving me 8 words, and I guessed the song, then 6 words, and I guessed the song, then 4 words, which were the title of the song, so that was easy. And I guessed the song, and now here we are with Mayhem down to two stinking words. I wait with trepidation.
And let me tell you that if you do guess this right, I'm going to send you your own super packed DVD set, 24 film comedy stars, Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, Gary Grant, Bob Denver, woo-hoo, Laurel and Hardy. Gosh, you're going to love it, Richard.
What a deal. What a deal.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Joseph Stalin.
Joseph Stalin. The only song I can think of, and this may be unfair... Billy Joel, We Didn't Start the Fire?
Oh, damn. Listen, is your producer Googling these words?
No, of course not. Not at all. David, you had nothing to do with this.
I have nothing to do. In fact, I'm checking the traffic as I get ready to go do my traffic shift. And we're still dealing with those massive delays,
Richard,
on 2059.
You are definitely a fountain of knowledge.
I do my best. I look forward to that DVD
set. I am going to gladly send you this Comedy Star Super Pack DVD set. Brand new, still never unwrapped.
Well, thank you, Mayhem. That's very kind of you. I appreciate it. Send it to the station. I'm sure I'll pick it up eventually. Have a great day, man. Every time he calls, I have this immense trepidation because my reputation is on the line. And I was thinking, you know, if I don't get it right, then all I win is the home version of this game. And I don't like this game very much. Last thing I need is a reminder of it. That's it for me. Leland Live comes your way next. But guess what? It's only Wednesday. We got two more of these in us as far as I can tell. So I'll be back tomorrow at noon. Talk at you then. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. Bye-bye now.